It is the summer of 2020 as we are recording this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. It's EPP, episode number 309. Welcome, everybody. And we're in a place in our world right now where it almost feels like these ghost stories are less scary than reality. I don't know. That's who would have thunk? Anyway, if you're escaping reality for a little bit to enjoy some ghost stories, you're at the right place. We appreciate you being here. And if you're an EPP supporter of the show, thank you very much for keeping us on the air. Today, I got three great stories to share with you. An adult looking back at their childhood wondering, why didn't we just move? After all, the ghosts were going beyond just being scary. That's something I think many look back and really ponder. And parents probably do too at some point, but when you're in the middle of it, when you're in the midst, there's a lot of reasons. It's beyond just, I don't know. There's circumstances, and we'll talk about that. Teenage girls have the most terrifying night of their lives as they play with their new toy called a Ouija board. You can guess how that goes. Not well. In fact, one of them walks out of there with their outfit looking like someone took scissors to it and just confused as hell. Didn't feel it when it was happening, but what the hell happened? And then trying to convince mom what happened. Yeah. Also, are the spirits one man sees just in his imagination, or are they in fact going around trying to warn him about something in his life before it is too late? Three great stories for you as you escape into the world of ghosts. We welcome you. My name is Tony Brisky. This is Real Ghost Stories, EPP bonus episode number 309. Stay with us. I think as adults, almost all of us in one way, shape, or form, whether it be positive, negative, or neutral, look back on some of the things that our parents did while raising us and go, why did you do it that way? There's just things like that. Because we're human is oftentimes the answer. Sometimes there's a more nefarious answer. Sometimes there's more of a just ignorant answer of I just didn't know what I was doing yet either. You know, I would have done things differently. There's all different ways to answer that question. I mean, heck, as a parent, I look at some things that I've done, just, you know, we should all be able to do that. Look back on things that we've done and go, why did I do it that way? When we learn better ways of doing things. But sometimes there's just no real good answer or answer that would solve a problem, no matter how much that parent really would love to solve that problem. It happens. It happens. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. Especially if you're a parent in a haunted house. I am not in a haunted house, but when I hear these stories and then I hear the parent or the kids, the adult kids, ask the question back to mom and dad, why didn't we just move? In many cases, there's a simple answer to that. There's no way to do it at that moment in time. The financials, the difficulty, all that goes into that sort of a thing can be a very difficult thing to do. And sometimes it's doable in time. Sometimes it's doable the next day if you have the means. You know, sometimes it's not doable for long, long periods of time. Even if you know your house is haunted and your children are having run-ins with ghosts. And I think sometimes parents draw that line of, well, as long as no one's being hurt, you know, I get they're scared. I wish I could change it. I wish this didn't happen, but there's no way or means that this is going to make sense for us to go anywhere. That's not going to be more physically dangerous or even have any options at all. You know, sometimes that's just where folks are. Our next story leaves adult children wondering that when they go back and revisit their childhood and the haunted house that they lived in and all the stuff that went in, which also involves someone getting a bit hurt. But then it goes back to those means, and you have to almost hopefully respect that, you know, mom and dad, they're not perfect, but they were trying to do the best that they could with being dealt a crazy card from the universe. A haunted house and children. Take a listen. My name is Dolores. I've been listening to your podcast for about 6 months, and I love you guys. I want to tell you about one of my many paranormal experiences. As far back as I can remember, my family and I have had so many experiences, and at the time, we just thought it's how things were. Although as an adult, I came to find that both my mother and grandmother are sensitives and knew what was going on was paranormal. As a kid, I could not understand why my pencils would disappear and then reappear somewhere else later. Literally, just after having it in my hand, I'd put it down, go to use it again. A few minutes later, it was nowhere to be found. Until a few hours or days later, when I wasn't looking for it, it would be in an odd place. It was not limited to pencils. It was little things that my siblings and I would play with and then would just go missing. We would end up fighting about it because we blamed each other for taking it. But as I grew up, I knew that if they said they did not take it, they really did not. We lived in this old house when I was about 5 to 12 years old. I have a sister who's a year younger than me, and I have a brother who was an infant when we lived in this house. Remember that what I say these things about me and my siblings and these behaviors happening were normal. We did not think them weird at the time, just part of our days and nights. When my brother was about 2 months old, he had started crawling fast. He was sick with cancer, so it took him longer to learn things and to do certain things. At any rate, he was crawling around like crazy. He liked it when my sister and I would crawl behind him and pretend we were going to catch up to him. Most of the time, we'd like him to crawl away, and he would giggle because he got away. This one time, my mother was in our kitchen, and my sister was in our room napping. I was watching the Garfield cartoon on TV. I used to love Garfield, so I did not like it when I was being bothered while watching it. So having my little brother playing and crawling around during this time really it annoyed me. This one time, he was playing near the TV. It was like he was trying to get behind the TV. We had one of those TVs that was the tube in the big box, so there was a space between the TV and the wall, enough space you could hide back there. At times, we'd hide there, pop out, scare each other as kids do, so it wasn't very weird to see him playing around there. If he was not in my TV view, I did not pay much attention to him. On a commercial, I called out to him, and he'd not turn around. I could only see his little back, but he just wouldn't turn around. Still being on a commercial, I grabbed for him to play, but he would not turn around to take off crawling real fast. So of course I crawled behind him trying to catch him, but this time he was too fast for me. I remember sweating because this was the only time I could not catch up to him. He crawled into a dark hallway that leads into my parents' room. He didn't like playing in that hallway because it was just too dark, and I felt in a way it was something was off in there. Plus it was dangerous in the dark. It was a scary feeling there. If we had to pass through there, we'd do it fast. I was getting upset that he was out crawling me, and I was crawling to him that I was going to catch him. All he did was giggle. His laugh sounded a little bit older, though. I did think that was weird, but I just kept after him anyway. He crawled into my parents' dark bedroom. I was not going to let him crawl away this time. I saw it as a challenge. That room was extremely dark. It always had been, so we never played in there. So he went in there and hesitated to go on in there after him was me. I called to him at first to come here. Come on, baby, come catch me. I thought I could entice him to come back out and chase me so I wouldn't have to go in there, but it didn't work. I heard him laughing. He sounded cute, so I went in there. It was so dark. My parents had blackout curtains in there because sometimes when my father was working, he'd work nights and would sleep during the daytime. So I heard him and figure he crawled into the closet, but the door was closed. He could not stand up yet, so I knew he was not in their bed. Plus, their bed was high. They had this big, groovy water bed, so the sides were tall. So the only place he could be was under his crib. His crib was in there, a little corner of the bedroom. I was scared. I didn't know why, but I remember being so scared I would not go closer to the crib. I finally said, okay, I'm leaving, baby, so he could just crawl out and follow me, but he didn't. I heard like a weird growl sounding or a meow. We had no animals, so this really scared me. I ran out of there, ran to the couch, just sat there waiting for him to crawl out. He didn't. My mother came into the living room and asked me what I was doing, and she said I was being too quiet. I told her I was playing with the baby and he was hiding in her room. She told me to stop lying, to which I said I was not. I explained what happened and she grabbed me by the hand and ran to where my sister was taking her nap. She was still napping. So my mother left me there and said, do not move. Of course, I thought it was something where I was going to be in trouble for sure. When she came back, she asked me to explain everything to her again, so I did. Then she grabbed my hand and took me to her room. I asked her to please turn on the hall light since we were going to pass it, but she ignored me. She pulled me along, turned on her bedroom light, and pulled me to the crib. She asked me why I was lying, that the baby was in the crib sleeping. I saw him with my own eyes in that crib. I told her I was not lying. I told her the whole story again, but she did not have it. So, of course, I got in trouble for lying, but I swear I was not lying. Later, as an adult, I asked her about this, and she was very clear that she knew I was not lying. But at the time, I was too young to understand what had happened, and she was too scared to believe that I had had that experience. It's still hard for me when I think back on this experience, but so many more things happened afterward. I think I just brushed it under the rug. It still gives me chills. My family lived in this house for a long time, and a lot of unexplainable things happened to all of us. I will tell you about that experience that happened to my baby brother. We saw the evidence afterward. My brother was about maybe four. He moved into our room, so we had bunk beds for him and my sister. Along with me, had our twin beds in there. It was an old house, so the rooms were huge. Anyways, we all shared that same room. He slept at the bottom bunk. My sister, she was on the top. I was closer to him, so if he got up, he would have to come to my bed and hop in. This did not happen much, but it did happen now and then when he was scared. My brother would wake up crying and come to my bed. He'd be telling me that the man with the raincoat was scaring him, so I just let him hop in my bed so he was safe. Then another time, he was crying and came to my bed saying that the man in the raincoat was scaring him again and pulling his arm and leg, so he hopped in. When we got up, he started to talk about it, but my sister and I distracted him so he wouldn't talk because we knew that our parents wouldn't believe it and we would get in trouble for lying. That is where we're going to pause the preview portion of EPP bonus episode number 309 of Real Ghost Stories Online. Each week, I like to give you a little bit of taste of it so you know what EPP episodes are all about. If you like our show and you want to support it and get all of our EPP bonus episodes in their entirety, along with our regular episodes weeks before the release to the public with no commercials in, you get that as a bonus too. You also get our ebook and our audiobook, both Amazon bestsellers. So that's like a $30 value right there. You get them for free. And then all sorts of other stuff throughout the year as we put it out there, video content, extras, chats, all that. $5 a month is what we ask to get all of the content, 309 bonus episodes in their entirety just for you, advanced episodes, ebook, audiobook, it's all there. $5 keeps us on the air from you collectively. That's what funds our program and allows us to do this thing called Real Ghost Stories Online. How do you become an EPP? Go to ghostpodcast.com. Or go to patreon.com/realghoststories. One of them is our website. You can access it all through there when you create your username and password and account. Or if you prefer the Patreon app, same sort of deal. You go through that interface and you can get it all through Patreon as well. Whichever you prefer, doesn't make a difference to me. Use the one that works best for you. Ghostpodcast.com, sign up there. Or patreon.com/realghoststories and help keep Real Ghost Stories online alive.